Thanks for joining us, Penny.
My pleasure, Kim.
Now, is there any precedent for this?
Yes, there is. And with Associate Professor Jason Pryor, we actually had an article published on this in Geographical Research earlier this year. And people might remember that in 1999, the Wayside Chapel, the Uniting Church, claimed sanctuary and opened an medically supervised injecting room. It was in breach of drug laws at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're claiming sanctuary. People can come and inject in our church, in the territory of the church, and you will be safe. And we know that we're breaking the law, and we're willing to break the law.
So what will sanctuary actually involve?
Well, this is the interesting thing, because it's been around since about the 5th century. It was legally recognised, and a lot of sanctuaries were legally recognised. And you can even talk today about, for example, embassies offering sanctuary. So Assange is currently in in a sanctuary at the moment.
Oh, that's true, yes. There's been a lot about that, and
yes,
sometimes
exactly.
we don't think of it that way.
So there's a big recognition of what sanctuary is. However, what's really interesting is this assertion of offering sanctuary to, at the time, people to inject drugs, but also now to asylum seekers who the government is talking about sending to Nauru. It doesn't actually have any legal standing. It hasn't had any legal standing since the 17th century. This kind of church territory is separate from the state. But what is really interesting is that there's been a different response in different jurisdictions to this claim of sanctuary. So I think that the Australian idea of sanctuary here being offered to refugees is something that they've borrowed from the Americans. The Americans have been doing it since the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But the American and Australian response to the legal system is very different. So in America, the police wait outside the church for people seeking sanctuary to leave it. And once they've left it, then they'll nab them and charge them.
So we are talking, this is civil disobedience today,
isn't it? Yeah, it's today, completely civil disobedience. Whereas in Australia, the police, with the medically supervised injecting room, did not respect sanctuary. So the tea room, as it was called, was open for 5 days. They raided it 3 times. And in the end, ended up arresting not only the people who were injecting drugs, but also people who were working there at the time, including a minister.
Well, we're talking a little bit of a different situation compared to sort of raiding a drug injecting area, aren't we? Because there's some very high profile people in the church in Australia that have come out against this,
yes.
to say, you know, to offer sanctuary and against
yes.
the to help the asylum seekers. And how likely, you know, is the government to take action against these sorts of people?
Well, this is the interesting thing, because there's a legal theorist, Cover, who's written about civil disobedience. And he said, look, civil disobedience asks questions about commitment to violence. And not only on the activist part. So the activists have all said now, you know, we're willing to go to jail for this. We're willing to go to jail. And the way that they're talking is, you know, that they're going to have not only, they're going to have other people there as well. So if the police want to come in, they're not only just going to go through church territory, but then they will also be, you know, trying to go through people in a peaceful protest way. So it's not only the commitment to violence of the activists to suffer violence, but whether or not the state is willing to impose that violence on them. So I think, you know, it is that kind of, I think there is a difference, you know, are we talking sandstone churches, you know, which might, you know, invite even more kind of respect or something. So it has phenomenal symbolic power to claim sanctuary. And it's basically challenging the state, are you going to exercise violence not only against the territory of the state, but against people who believe that you're doing the wrong thing and are offering a different story of what the law can be and should be.
As you said, it has enormous symbolic presence that goes back centuries.
Yeah, and in America, mm-hmm. when they charged people with these offences, so they wait outside and then they charge people with offences, those people have been found guilty of offences. Whereas in Australia, when they charged, you know, the clergymen and drug injectors, the magistrate threw it out of court.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting.
Then the law was changed to allow a medically supervised injecting room, which still exists today.
Right. So the Australian public, let's talk about the Australian public. You know, they've pretty much, there's a large section behind this church push and the idea of sanctuary. You know, how much of a voice do the Australian public have in trying to convince the government to allow asylum seekers to stay here, and also behind the sanctuary push? You know, will the Australian, if the Australian public rise up and say, this is, we support this?
Well, I think it's really interesting. I would stress that sanctuary, we, in the Western tradition, we do tend to associate it with religion, but it doesn't have to be. And I would say that a lot of people involved with the sanctuary push, not only with the medically supervised injecting room, but also with the churches at the moment, they're not necessarily religious. They just think that what the state is doing is wrong. And so the sanctuary concept offers a lot of resonance for people to stand up behind it. And so I've noticed that UTS is having a rally based on offering sanctuary next week. So it's a very catchy, resonant notion. But it doesn't necessarily have to be associated with religion, and a lot of people have been tired of the approach to refugees, and this is offering an alternative, coherent story.
And is this move by the churches to offer sanctuary, you know, is there a likelihood of this spurring change in asylum seeker policy, do you think, in the longer term?
I think it's possible, and I mean, that's the interesting thing, that that's what actually did happen in relation to the tea room, is that they ended up opening a medically supervised injecting room because it, you know, the unauthorized sanctuary ended up challenging the state laws by saying, you know, these are unnecessarily harmful. Why are we taking this approach? And that's pretty much what's going on now. But that said, you know, this policy has been around for a very long time in relation to refugees. I actually think it's great. I think it's offering an alternative story. And you know, if Australians want to get behind it, that would actually be a really good thing.
Well, let's see how that one develops. All eyes on that one. And thanks very much for talking to us, Penny.
That's my pleasure, Kim.